I actually want to talk about last week's parasha a little bit, and but it's still relevant. So it's all part of Chumash Shmos. We find in Parashat Shmos, Torah tells us, "Vayi bayamim ahem, vayigdal Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu, after having been saved from the Teva by Basparo and then being nursed by his mother Yocheved, and then goes back to be with Basparo, it says that Moshe Vayigdal. So Rashi comments, why does it say Vayigdal Moshe? In the previous pasuk, it said Vayigdal Ayeled. So in pasuk Yud, it says Vayigdal Ayeled. So what does it mean in pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayigdal Moshe? So Rashi explains, Valokvak kata Vayigdal Hayeled. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loim, Harishon Mekoma. The first time it tells us that he just grew up. He got older. He physically got older. Vasheni Ligdula. But the second thing tells us that he rose to greatness. Shemino Para al Beso, because Para appointed him to be in charge of his household. Now, if we stop here and we think about the story at this point, it sounds great. We all know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is now. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The son of Amram and Yocheved, gets adopted by Bas Paro, gets raised in Paro's palace, now is in charge, like almost seems like second in command in all of Mitzrayim. He's in the perfect position to help in Israel. This is obviously what Hashem has in mind. He's going to be there and he can help in Israel. And he can do a great job because take a look what Yosef was able to do. Yosef, when he was viceroy to Paro, was able to take care of Bnei Yisrael, set them up in Eretz Goshen. He saved Mitzrayim, but he saved Bnei Yisrael. He gave them whatever they needed. It's wonderful. And Moshe may be even better than Yosef, because it's not so clear that everybody knows where Moshe comes from. It's not so clear that people know that Moshe is from Bnei Yisrael. He was found in the Or by Bas Paro, a gift of the gods. Who knows what story she concocted. And therefore, people aren't looking at him, you know, they're making sure he's not being slightly prejudiced. He can do a tremendous amount of good for Bnei Yisrael. To a certain extent, it reminds us of Esther. Esther gets chosen to be queen in Achashverosh's palace. And the pasuk tells us, "V'chol yom v'yom Mordechai mishalech lifnei chatzar beit hanashim." Every day Mordechai is passing in front of chatzar beit hanashim. Why? The Medrash says, "Amar efshel litzadek etzot shetinasei la'arel." How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it that this tzadek of Esther should have to marry Achashverosh? Elisha asid davar gadol sheyaral Yisrael v'asidim linatzar la'yadeh. Must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu put her into this position. She's going to save Bnei Yisrael. So obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is in this position. He's in charge of Paro's household. He's going to save Bnei Yisrael. And it looks like a much brighter future for Bnei Yisrael. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? By the way, I should give a bit of a disclaimer. Most of this is based on Mordechai Miller from Gateshead, who most of what I'm going to talk about today. So what does Moshe do? Vayar Siv Losam. He goes out to check on Bnei Yisrael. Vayar Ish Mitzri Make Ishivri Me'achav. He sees a Mitzri beating up a Jew. Vayivan Kol V'chol Vayar Ki Enish Vayachas HaMitzri Vayitmaneh B'chol. So he kills the Mitzri. Next day he finds out that Paro hears what's going on. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do? He has to run away. And you stop here and you say, Moshe Rabbeinu blew it. He blew it. He was there to help Bnei Yisrael. And instead of thinking long term what he can do to help Bnei Yisrael, he's very short term thinking. He says, okay, I'm going to kill this Mitzri. But then, we know, you can't keep things quiet for too long. Paro's going to find out, and he's going to have to run away, and he loses his whole position of power. He blew Hashem's plan. That's what it looks like. Why did Moshe give it all up? Why couldn't Moshe have just been a little bit calmer and looked at it and said, okay, there's a Mitzri beating up a Jew, but I have to worry about all of Bnei Yisrael, so I'll do something else. I'll distract the Mitzri. I'll order him to go somewhere else. I'll reassign him in his position. But I'm here to help Bnei Yisrael. See, he helps one Jew, and then that's it. He's finished. Imagine if, you know, Esther had helped one Jew in Ahasuerus' court, and that was it. And then when Haman came along, there wouldn't be an Esther there to help. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu act the way that he acts? In order to understand this, we have to ask a different question. Or another question. Moshe Rabbeinu is by the snare, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, you're the one who's chosen to go save Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go, and he comes up with one excuse, and another excuse, and one reason, and another reason. It's a very frustrating conversation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us this lasted for a whole week. And at some point, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning of Perek Dalet, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehein lo yaminu li. They won't believe me. They're not going to believe me, Bnei Yisrael. Why are you bothering sending me? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Zayin tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got a little bit perturbed at this. He says, what do you mean they won't believe you? The Gemara says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hein ma'amin b'nei ma'amin. How could you say that about Bnei Yisrael? He even turned that into a song. Ma'amin b'nei ma'amin. So he said, ma'amin b'nei ma'amin. And the proof is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, because we see later on, oh, hello.
Hi.
Come on in. So we see later on that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron come to Bnei Yisrael. Vayidabar Aaron eskol adrim asher dibar Hashem al Moshe vayasa osas leinei ha'am. Vayamei na'am. And the people actually believed what Aaron said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what do you mean they won't believe you? They will believe you. And they do believe you. They do believe them. So that may mean b'nei ma'amin. That's what the Torah tells us, and the Gemara elaborates. It comes to Mordechai Miller, and he asks, just one second. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. What does the pasuk say? Vayidaber Aaron eskol advim asher diber Hashem al Moshe. First, Aaron told them everything Hashem said. Then, vayasa also sleinei ha'am. Then he did those miracles. The stick turning into a snake. The hand becoming tzarat, the water turning into dam. He did the miracles. And then, vayamei na'am. That's believing. That's true belief. Aaron did certain supernatural miracles, so now they believed. Sounds like without the miracles, they wouldn't believe. For this, you deserve the title of ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Okay. They didn't continue to disbelieve. It doesn't say that they ever didn't believe. But I don't know how deserving they are of such an amazing title. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. You do miracles. Some comedian once said that he said, I'll believe in God. As soon as he deposits, then at the time it was $1 million, probably now it's, you know, $50 million in a bank account in my name, right? And then I'll believe in God. That's not belief in God. That's, you're joking around. Say, here. Yeah, so you do miracles, and therefore Bnei Yisrael believed, and that gets them the title of Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim. Why? So Mordechai Miller answers, it's a very important psychological yisod. At the end of the day, people have certain beliefs, and they have a certain hashkafat olam. In most cases, what they see or what they perceive afterwards, they'll see through the prism of their hashkafat olam. Meaning they'll believe in what they want to believe in, and what they don't want to believe in, they'll continue not to believe in. And it doesn't really change based on what happens. Chazal tell us that Talmidei Chachamim, Gemara and Shabbos, Talmidei Chachamim kol zman shem mazkinim chachmamim nitosefes behem. The more, the older that a Talmud Chacham gets, the wiser he becomes. Va'amei ha'aretz, kozman shemaskinim tipshus nitosefes behem. But in Am ha'aretz, the older he gets, the more foolish he becomes. Why? Because the wise man is always looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. He's always looking for Chachmas Hashem. The older he gets, the more life experiences he has. So the more Chachmas Hashem he's going to see, the wiser he'll become. The Am Haaretz, the ignoramus, the atheist, the fool. So he's always looking for foolishness. He's always looking at the world from a different set of glasses. And therefore he'll just become more and more foolish as time comes along. What you're looking for is what you'll see. We can see this in a specific instance and in a general case. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva that he had a saying. He used to always say, La'olam ye'adam ragil lomar kol David rachmanu l'tav avid. Whatever a person does, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does, he does for the best. But with Rabbi Akiva, that wasn't just a saying. It's not something that he just happened to say. That's the way Rabbi Akiva looked at the whole world. He always looked at it, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. And if you look at the world that way, you'll find it. The Gemara tells us a famous story in Maseches Brachos that Rabbi Akiva was once traveling on the road. And he came to a certain village and he wanted a place to sleep. Somebody should put him up for the night. And all the villagers refused to keep him. They kicked him out of the village. They didn't know who he was. They didn't care who he was. I don't know. But nobody wanted to give lodging to Rabbi Akiva. So he had to sleep out in the middle of the... He went to the forest somewhere. He said, I'll sleep out in the forest. But he said, this is for the best. Must be for the best. In the middle of the night, what happened? He had a donkey. You may know the story. He had a donkey, he had a rooster, and he had lit a fire. The wind blew out the fire, and his fire was gone. A cat came along and ate up his rooster, which was supposed, that was his alarm clock. The rooster was supposed to wake him up anyway. Ate up the rooster, and the lion came and killed the donkey. See, here he is, in the forest. Now, no place, no roof over his head. No donkey to ride on tomorrow. No rooster to wake him up in the morning. No fire to keep him warm. And he keeps saying, "Come out, David Rachman, on the top of it. It's all for the good, it's all for the good, it's all for the good." Wakes up in the morning. And he sees that there's smoke coming from the village. What happened? He says, in the middle of the night or the early hours of the morning, Roman soldiers came. And they went and they destroyed the village and everybody inside. Had they given him lodging, he would have been there. Had his fire not blown out, the Roman soldiers would have seen his fire. Had the rooster still been alive, it would have cock-a-doodle-doo and they would have heard the rooster. And if his donkey had still been alive, it would have been, what does the donkey do, a braze? I don't know what that's a horse, whatever a donkey does. So, and the donkey would have made noise. So he said, but that's the way he lived his life. Everything that he saw through that prism. The Gemara at the end of Makkos tells us a couple of famous stories. Rabbi Akiva is traveling with a number of Chachamim, and they come to a Roman city, and on the outskirts of the Roman city, they can hear all the celebration and the wonder and the great time everybody in the Roman city is having. And the Chachamim start crying. And Rabbi Akiva is smiling. He's happy. So they look at him and they say, Akiva, why are you smiling? See, he turns to them and he says, Nu Rabbeisai, why are you crying? He says, why are we crying? He says, take a look at Eretz Yisrael, take a look at Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Everybody is in the whole country has been destroyed. People are in Galus. And the Romans are living it up. Without a care in the world. They're having a great time. Should we be crying? So he says, that's why I'm smiling. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, it's obvious. If the Romans who are so evil are having such a good time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is letting him have such a good time, imagine what kind of good time we're going to have when it's our turn. Im la'ovrei ritzono kach, if this is the, if this is what happens to those people who defy Hashem, la'osei ritzono lachas kama v'kama. So see how, imagine how great it's going to be for us, B'nai Yisrael. That's the way he looked at the world. They saw tzaras, and he saw this beautiful future. He always looked at the world that way. In the second story, the Gemara tells us that the Chacham were in Yerushalayim, and they're walking by Har HaBayis, and they see a fox coming out of the ruins where the Kodesh HaKadoshim stood. So everybody starts crying. And of course, Rabbi Kiva is smiling. Now, so again, same conversation. Why are you smiling? Why are you crying? So why are you crying? Based Kodesh HaKadoshim, somebody, except for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, wasn't allowed to go into. And now foxes are running in and out of it? We shouldn't be crying. He says, that's why I'm smiling. And he goes on to explain that there were two nevuahs. There was a nevuah talking about how desolate Har HaBayis would become, a place for the wild animals to roam in. And there was a nevuah of Zechariah, Od Yeshu Zekenu Zekenus Berchov Yerushalayim, about the Geula. And there's a pasuk that seems to connect the two nevuahs. So he said, until I saw the fulfillment of the first nevuah about Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis turning into a place where the wild animals will roam, I never knew whether the second nevuah, which talked about the good things that will happen, Od Yeshvu Zekenim Zekenot Berchavot Yerushalayim, I wasn't sure that that would happen. But now that I saw that the first nevuah took place, so now I see the second nevuah is also going to take place. And that's why I'm smiling. He always looked for the good. And if you look for the good, you'll find the good. And if you don't look for the good, you won't find the good. People see the world the way that they want to see it. Rabbi Akiva always wanted to see the world through the prism of Kol David Rachman Latav Aved, and he was successful. The Medrash tells us a story based on this week, on last week's parsha. There was a matron Roman, a woman, I guess a choshev a Roman woman, who once confronted Rabbi Yossi. And she told him, my God is greater than your God. So he said, why do you say that? She says, I can prove it from your Bible. Really? Prove it to me. She said, not a problem. Says, when your God appears to Moshe at the burning bush, she must have learned Parshat Shmos once. So Moshe Rabbeinu is by the snare, and he sees the snare, boer ba'esh v'asnei nenu ukol, v'ayim Moshe asur na v'arem, let me go take a look and see what this, what's all about. Vayar Hashem kisal erod, vayikrai lav Moshe, vayikrai lav Elokim mitoch hasneh, vayomer Moshe, Moshe, vayomer hineini. Hashem calls out to him, vayomer al tikra valom, don't come close. Hashem said, shal nalecha mi'al reglecha, take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground. And then Hashem continues to talk, anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And Hashem identifies himself, ayaster Moshe panav. So Moshe hid his face. That's how Moshe reacted when your God appeared to him. My God, says this Roman person, my God is embodied in the snake. That's my God. What happens when Moshe throws his stick down? It says, Vayomer hashlicheyo arza, vayashlicheyo arza vayila nachash. His staff turns into a serpent. Vayonas Moshe mipanav. Moshe runs away. From your God, he stands there and he hides his face. From my God, he runs away. My God is greater than your God. Rabbi Yossi turns to this woman and he says to her, Tipach Atzmosa. He says, foolish woman. What do you mean foolish woman? He says, my God. Why does Moshe run away? Who's he going to run to? The Medrash says, B'shash nigla elokeinu basnelo hayalo makam levroach. How's he going to run away? Man me'emar be'elokeinu, halo et shamayim v'etaratz, ani mole'inu ma'ashem. He can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't turn and run. He can't run away from Hashem. But your God, Aval HaNachash, Shu Elohecha, Kemen Shadam Barech, Beit Ogimu Psiot, Yachali Natsim Mena. But from a serpent, you take a few steps away and you're safe. And that's why it says, Vayenas Moshe Mipanav. Two people are looking at the same story. And one sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. And one sees the greatness of their God, the snake. People will see what they want to see. And how they perceive things tell you what they've been thinking. So if we go back to our original question, not the original question, go back to the second question. It says, why B'nai Yisrael called Ma'amina B'nai Ma'aminim? After Aaron did the miracles, that's Amuna. That's Amuna. He had to do the miracles. The answer is, if they weren't Ma'aminim to begin with, the miracles wouldn't have made a difference. Chazal tell us that when Moshe, after he went to B'nai Yisrael, when Moshe and Aaron went to Paro, and he started doing the miracles, you know, throwing down the staff and turning into a serpent, Paro started mocking them. This is supposed to convince me? And it said he called in the little school children, the ones who went to the Hogwarts school of Kishuf in Egypt. And he said, do it. And all the little kids, the 4 or 5 year olds, were throwing their sticks down and they were turning into snakes. Called his wife in. And he's laughing at them. That's what you call a convincing argument? You're trying to prove Kishuf to me? We know all the Kishuf in the world. Because Paro wasn't looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paro thought everything was ruled by sorcery. And therefore, whatever he saw, whatever Moshe did, he says it's all sorcery. If the Torah tells us that B'nai Yisrael believed, it meant that that's what they truly deep down believed. Because if they didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Aaron did the miracles, they wouldn't be believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Aaron did the miracles. The miracles was further proof of the belief that they always held. It just brought it out in the forefront. That's what it was about. And therefore, if B'nai Yisrael see the miracles, Vayamena'an, they are Ma'amina B'nai Ma'amina. They really do believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if they didn't, it wouldn't make a difference. The person who doesn't believe in God, and then comes along, somebody deposits $50 million in a bank account in his name, he's still not going to believe in God. Yeah, for a minute or two, he might give some lip service. But for most people, it's not going to make a difference. And if the Torah says, B'nai Yisrael Ma'aminim, it shows that they were Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim. But even though B'nai Yisrael were Ma'aminim B'nai Ma'aminim, it seems that over the generations in the Zman of the Sheba that they were Mitzrayim, there was a little bit of weakening of that Amuna. And they needed a bit of strengthening, a booster shot in their Amuna. And to a certain extent, that's what the miracles that Aaron did for them, the Tashatz, first happened to Moshe, then Aaron did, that was meant to just reinforce that Amuna, which needed a bit of reinforcement. And what's very interesting is that Hashem tells Moshe to do the first os, that's throwing down the staff and turning into a serpent. And then he tells him to do a second one. Put your hand inside and take it out, it's Mitzarat Kashalak. And why does he tell him to do two otot? So the Pasuk says, Vayom lo yaminu lach v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'os ha'rishon. If they don't fully believe you after the first miracle with the staff and the serpent, the second one's going to convince them. Why is the second one going to convince them even more than the first? I'm not sure which one seems to be more miraculous. I don't know. It seems like turning a staff into a snake is a little bit more here in Sarat Kashem, like, I don't know. So Rashi says, Mishatomer lahem bishvilchem lakisi al shesipati aleichem lashon hara yaminu lecha. Says, if you tell them about the second oath, that I was punished, I, Moshe, was punished by sticking my hand in, and it came out Sarat Kashalai, because I spoke Lashon Hara about you, because I said you wouldn't believe in Hashem, then they're really going to believe you. Why? Shekvar lomdu b'kach shehamizdavgim lahara lahem lokim b'negoyim kegom parav avimelech b'shvil Sara. They knew that people who start up with Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu whacks them. Look what happened with Sara Imenu, with Paro, and Sara Imenu afterwards with Avimelech. You start up with Sarah, you start up with Avram, you're going to get in trouble. You start up with Esau, you're going to get in trouble. This is going to convince them. Well, what does it mean? Bnei Esau were suffering. They were in Mitzrayim. And the Shibut was very hard. And very long. In many decades. And you wonder, what's going to be? Did Hashem abandon them? Does Hashem love them? Now, sometimes the father will discipline his child. Sometimes he'll rebuke him. Sometimes he'll punish him. Sometimes he'll give him a patch. But if a stranger comes over and starts rebuking my kid, starts punishing my kid, starts giving a patch to my kid, what? The father says, who do you think you are? Get your hand off my kid. That's my kid. But you just gave him a patch a minute ago. I'm his father. I can do what I want. You can't do anything. Not that I can do whatever I want, but what did Bnei Yisrael see? Hashem was rebuking them. He was giving them a patch, and they were suffering Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says one sentence of Lashon Hara about Bnei Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, whack! Tzarat! Who are you to speak against my children? And Bnei Yisrael hear this. He said, even Moshe Rabbeinu? Even Moshe Rabbeinu is getting rebuked by Hashem because he said something bad about us? That must mean that Hashem really loves us. That Hashem really cares about us. That's the relationship of a father to a child. Maybe a child who misbehaved, maybe a child who needs to be disciplined. But he still loves us. He still cares about us. And even somebody like Moshe says one bad word, one bad sentence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't you dare talk about my children. Well, the first miracle of the staff turning into serpent didn't fully convince Bnei Yisrael, then the second miracle is going to do its job. Now we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu really still loves us. So now let's go back to our original question. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, seem to blow it all? Here he is. He's in this position of power. He's in charge of Paro's household, and he goes and he hits the Mitzri and he has to run away, and it seems that he's thwarting Hashem's plan. Why does he do that? Even though Chazal tells us that HaKadosh Baruch referred to Bnei Yisrael as Maminim, Bnei Maminim, the truth is that there was a little bit of a crack in that wall of Emuna. We say Maminim Bnei Maminim because by Avraham Avinu it says Vayamin Ba'Hashem, believed in Hashem before the Bris Bein Absarim. And nevertheless, two psukim later, it says Vayamin Ba'Hashem. Nevertheless, two psukim later, Avram turns to HaKadosh Baruch and he says, Bama Eida Ki Yirashena. How do I know that this is going to happen? Everything that Hashem promised. The Gemara in Masech and the Dorim of Daflamid Beis asks the following question. Mipnei ma ne'nash Avram Avinu v'nishtabdu manav l'mitzrayim masayim v'esha shanim. What did Avram do that he deserved to be punished that his children have to be in Mitzrayim and to be in Abdus for 210 years. And the Gemara gives a number of different answers. Shmuel's answer in the Gemara is Mipnei Shehifriz al Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar Bama Eda Ki Yirashena. According to Shmuel, there was a slight wrong on Avram's part to ask the question Bama Eda Ki Yirashena. Avram, you're a mommy. Why are you asking for signs? Why are you even beginning to question what's the proof? Of course, Avram believed. But the level of emunah that was demanded of him should be even stronger. He shouldn't have even asked, Bamei Daki Yerusha. And because there was that slight lack of absolute emunah on Avram's part, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, we ended up in Mitzrayim. Which means that to get out of Mitzrayim, we have to totally, totally correct that slight crack in emunah. We have to do 100% back to total emunah in HaKadosh Baruch. As long as Moshe Rabbeinu is second in command in Paro's household, so Bnei Yisrael will think, oh, things are going to get better. We have protectsia. Well, it's like saying in this country, you don't need protectsia as long as you know somebody. So, you know somebody. You know somebody. And that's going to help us get out. But that already is thinking a little bit more on Derech HaTeva. Yeah, somehow or another, Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't it amazing the coincidence that somehow or another they think more on Derech HaTeva, things are going to get better. And as long as Bnei Yisrael are thinking of Piderech HaTeva, that things are going to get better, the Geula is not going to happen. The Geula is only going to happen when they realize that Einanu al mi lehishayin ela al avinu shevashamayim, that nothing else is going to get us out of here. You see something a little bit similar in Esther. That when Esther goes to meet Ahasuerus, so the Gemara asks, why does Esther invite Haman to the party? So the Gemara gives more than one answer. But one of the answers that the Gemara gives is because she wanted Bnei Yisrael to daven. They were fasting, they were davening, and she wanted them to daven 100% to put their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as they think, with the language of Chazal there was, oh, Achos Yeshlono Beveis HaMelech, we have protection in Ahasuerus' palace. Things will get better. If that's the case, Yasichu Datam Narachamim, they won't be turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with full kavana, because they'll think they can rely on Esther. So Esther invites Haman to the party, but he's going to say, Esther, she's a turncoat, she's a traitor, she's a this, she's in cahoots with Haman, she's just trying to save herself. Ah, we can't rely on her, we can only rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, that's what she wants. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu also needs. As long as he's in Paro's palace in charge, they'll think that that's the way the Geula is going to come about. So whether Moshe Rabbeinu willingly or unwillingly blows it, but that's the way it had to be. Moshe couldn't stay in charge of Beis Paro, because then Bnei Yisrael would rely on him and there would still be that little bit of a lack of emunah. So Moshe Rabbeinu hits the Mitzri, kills the Mitzri. Next day he realizes it's found out, Paro wants to kill him, he has to run away. He's not thwarting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. He's running straight towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. It's going to be a number of decades, but he's going to be one day taking care of the sheep, and he's going to see a burning bush, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now's the time to go back. Bnei Yisrael fully realized there's nothing else to rely on. In between, we had Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim. Paro died. Vayayonchu Bnei Yisrael min avoda vayitzaku. They thought that with one Paro dead, the next Paro would be better. They were still partially relying on Derech HaTeva. When they saw the next Paro wasn't any better, they said, forget it. We can't rely on Moshe. He ran away. He blew it decades ago. The new Paro, he's horrible. There's only one person, one being who can save us, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for. And when that happens, then they return to their status that they really deserved all along. So that's what the Machaz Miller's part was on Parsha. It's a very nice part. I want to end on something that's not directly connected, but somehow connected. We're Maminim. And I think if you stopped any from Joe on the street and asked him, do you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course. Do you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? Yeah. Come on. Of course. Do you believe that Schar Va'onesh in the world? Of course. Zay Kari Amuna. We from Joe, I think, would clearly answer without any hesitation. But is that the real? But is that really the way that we run our lives? Do we really run our lives knowing 100% that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? Yes, and sometimes maybe not yes. Any psychology majors here? Something called cognitive dissonance. Yeah, what does that mean?
So I don't know how to define it. I graduated from undergrad already. Not the best place to find it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I remember from like EQ psych, but like you think something and then like something happens that like distorts that and then you need to like rethink it to like make it fit back in.
So what I'm thinking about, I'm not sure if that's what it is that people, if you ask them, people will tell you one thing, but they act in a manner that's very different from what they claim that they really think or believe, etc. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He's in charge of the world. This is Schar Va'onesh. So why don't we always act that way? Why aren't we always as honest as we should be? I'll give you an example, a few examples maybe. You want to go into a certain amusement park or anything, right? And you know, up to the age of 12 is one price, and then you know, after the age of 13 and up is another price. If somebody just turned 13 last week, and you go to the cashier and you say, she's 12 years old. No one will question. She's not exceptionally tall or whatever it is. She looks like she could be 12. A week ago, she was 12. But it's not honest. Why do we do that? Do we really think that when we save the few dollars, that we really will save a few dollars? We really think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... looks at what's happening and says, yeah, he's going to end up with a few more dollars in his bank account than he would have otherwise. No problem. That's really what we think is happening? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too busy to notice what's going on? So it could be in a little thing. Sometimes it's more money. You're applying for a grant for something. And it asks you to disclose how much money you have in your bank account. So you write down a number that's 10% of what you really have there. No one really checks. Because Rabbi doesn't notice. You're going to end up, so they're going to give you a $5,000 grant for something. It's a lot of money. It's a lot more than saving $5 going into the amusement park. And Rabbi is just going to ignore that. There's no Schar Va'onesh in this world. There isn't going to come some point in your life where you might have made $5,000 and now you lose $5,000. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't keep track. He has a very poor accountant. Do we really believe in what we claim we believe? Somebody told me this a couple of years ago. don't know how much people do this. Sometimes people have a wedding. They go to a store and they buy a very, very nice dress. They wear it to the wedding and they come back to the store and they return it as if they never wore it before. So we have ways in which we try to beat the system. But do we really think we won? Because one doesn't notice what's going on in this world. If we just don't pay attention. I got an email a few weeks ago from someone. She's taking a lab course. And part of the lab course is you do a certain experiment, whatever it is, and then you have to hand in the results of the experiment, see how well you did the lab. She comes to the lab, and she sees that other students, before they do the lab, already have the answers. I didn't have the answers, you didn't do the thing. Oh, it's Masaira. Masaira and what the answer is supposed to be. So she asked me, says, is that a lap? So I thought it was Ganeva's Das. The purpose is not, purpose isn't knowing the information, knowing what the right answer is. The purpose is to see how well you can do the lab. That's my understanding, at least. So, you're misleading them. You do the lab, and you get one result, and you hand another result. Isn't it? So you want to be honest. It's very hard. Because everybody else is going to get a better mark, and you did your best, but you didn't get the perfect result. But do you really think in the long run you're going to suffer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Do you really think you're going to suffer? I'm not talking about an Olam Haba where you think Lachamei Vesem Shani, you're going to get to Shemaim and Kadosh Baruch is going to say, he's going to call them Malachim. So you see this foolish woman over here? She had the Masara and she didn't use it. What a fool! Why didn't she use the Masara? And all the Malachim are going to laugh. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't think so. But I don't even think that in Olam Hazeh you fall behind. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the dishonest people... Yeah, sometimes it appears to us that dishonest people really, really gain and go ahead in the world. It looks that way. But is it really that way? I think we need to work on ourselves. On really being Mamina B'nai Mamina. To not only say we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to act that way. Sometimes the challenges are very easy. I don't think here anybody had a Yetzer Hara to, knock down a little old lady, grab her pocketbook, and steal her social security check. I don't think we have that kind of Yetzer Hara. But some of us, at least, do have a Yetzer Hara where... everybody's doing it. And it's really not so bad. Now, sometimes things are legal. Sometimes things are fine. What was it? I remember when I used to take regents in high school. So the Barron's Regents books, they used to have old exams. Every year they used to print them. And it was perfectly legal. I'm not saying you can't study from old exams. So I was glad to do that. But not everything is okay. And at times when we feel challenged and we have this internal struggle, and it does happen. I think we have to stand back for a second and say, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He knows what's going on in the world. Am I really going to suffer if I do the right thing? And am I really going to gain if I do the wrong thing? Really? And when you ask yourself the question that way, you first have to make sure that the wrong thing is wrong. The wrong thing is okay. So if it's not wrong, it's not wrong. But if it's wrong, you know it's wrong. And deep down, you know it's wrong. So the fact that everybody's doing it, or the fact that you'll lose out on $5 or $5,000. But you're not going to lose out. Because Baruch Hu has an excellent accounting system. He doesn't forget anything. And at the end of the day, you don't lose by doing the right thing. And you don't gain by doing the wrong thing. Sometimes you'll see it the next week, sometimes the next year, sometimes it won't happen for 20 years. But at the end, it'll happen. You may realize it, you may not realize it, but I think we have to start looking at the world. To be like Rabbi Akiva is very hard to be like Rabbi Akiva in many ways. But at least to look at the world through the prism of, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, so I'll do it based on the fact that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And if we do it that way, then I think we too will be deserving of the title of being Mamina B'nei Mamina.